The ministry of Jesus focused on the needs of people. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell helps us discover the difference Jesus Christ can make in our lives all year long.
Matthew 6:24 says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold on to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." And Jesus is not suggesting that we dishonor our parents. He is teaching that we would not permit our love for family to supersede our love for Him.
Jesus often avoided the spotlight and instead focused his ministry on the needs of people. In our series, The Ministry of Jesus, we will explore the life of Christ, who he is, and what he taught. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Through the New Testament, those who encountered the ministry of Jesus never left quite the same. In our series today, you'll discover the difference Jesus makes when you engage with him personally and experience his touch in your life. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called Understanding Discipleship.
We have learned in the past few weeks that in Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, as we come to this middle and final section, we are studying the life of Christ as he makes a turn toward Jerusalem. The Lord Jesus has now come to the place where there are about 6 months remaining in his earthly ministry, and he will soon go up the hill of the skull for the time of the crucifixion in Jerusalem. Along his way to Jerusalem, however, Jesus is continually investing in his disciples. He's teaching them, he's mentoring, he's guiding them along the way. After all, they will carry on the work when he ascends to be with his Father in heaven. And he has been teaching them some tremendous truths that we have been learning as well. For example, in verses 46 through 50, he taught them the importance of humility. And they were asking him, "Lord, who will be the greatest in your kingdom?" And he said, "The one that will be the greatest will be the servant of all." And he taught them the importance of having a humble heart. And then secondly, in verses 51 through 56, he taught them about the importance of mercy. The disciples, when they were not receiving cooperation from the Samaritans regarding Jesus passing their way, they were ready to have hellfire and damnation upon those Samaritans. And Jesus reminded them that that would not be his spirit, that their spirit should be a spirit of compassion on them. And so along the way, there are these lessons that Jesus is teaching. Now, the followers of Jesus in this teaching are beginning to learn the difference between accepting Jesus Christ as Savior and really following Him as a true disciple of Jesus Christ. You see, salvation is the miracle of a moment, but discipleship is dedication for a lifetime. And this is what Jesus is beginning to help them understand along the way. Discipleship involves denial of self. Hence, Jesus says things like, "If any man will follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." He said, "I'm going to the cross. You may have to bear some difficulty if you will follow me." And he said, "If you're going to follow me, put your hand to the plow and don't look back at this world, but keep on following me." My grandfather was a farmer in Colorado, and a lot of times we would drive by other farms, and he'd say, "Paul, look at the rows in that farm." He'd say, "They're crooked as they can be." And sometimes he'd say, "Look at the row at that farm. Why, that row right there is as crooked as a dog's hind leg." He'd say that sometimes too. And he'd say, "I don't know what that fellow was doing. Maybe he was looking back along the way, or looking at deer, or looking around, but he wasn't looking straight, or the row wouldn't be like that." And God says, "When you decide to follow me, I want you to look straight ahead. Don't be looking around at this world, but focus on me." This is what Jesus Christ is teaching us in this passage. Now, I got to tell you what, this kind of selfless living, this kind of self-abandonment, so that we only focus on Jesus Christ, is not common today. Now, we live in the United States of selfie, and everyone is interested in themselves and how they portray themselves and how they look, and that seems to be the prevalent idea. Self magazine, glamour magazine, take a selfie, let everybody see your selfie. Jesus says, "You cannot take up my cross, you cannot be my disciple, and at the same time be obsessed with yourself." And Jesus is going to teach us this morning the importance of self-denial rather than self-worship, which is prevalent even in many churches today. Now, as we live in this time of self, listen, self doesn't want to go to church very much. Self would rather stay in bed. And self does not want to serve God. Self does not want to give. Oftentimes in this selfie age, we find that there is this battle between what we refer to as the self and the spirit. And so it is that many churches are sensing in a consumerism type of a mentality. People don't want to abandon self for God. They want to hold on to self. And so many churches are cutting back on preaching times. Many churches are cutting back on evangelism or missions outreach because we live in a selfie generation. Henry Drummond said this, "The entrance fee into the kingdom of heaven is nothing. The annual subscription is everything." So we don't pay to get into heaven. How many of you understand Jesus paid that price with his shed blood? The entrance fee into heaven is nothing. Jesus paid the price. But the annual subscription fee to be a follower of Jesus is everything. Jesus said, "I don't want a part of your life. I want you to completely allow me to be your Lord," capital L. I want you to be, allow me to be your Lord. And so this morning we're going to see three individuals that, like us, are going to struggle with this concept of really being a disciple of Jesus Christ. Three individuals who were not really understanding what it would mean and struggled with the matter of following Christ. Now again, in Luke 9:23, it says, "And he said unto them, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." And now later again in the chapter, he's speaking in the same tone. And so we see that Jesus is very, very particular as he describes what it means to be one of his followers. And so let's notice this morning three important decisions of discipleship that we need to make if we're going to truly be followers of Christ. The first decision is that there must be no regard for provision. No regard for our own provision. Now look at verse 57. It says, "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not to where to lay his head." Now what we see here is a thoughtless decision. We see a man just saying some things to Jesus without understanding the full ramification. I believe there are people who join churches, there are people who say they've made rededications in a very thoughtless way. They're just sort of going through a religious motion and they're just saying religious jargon. Here was a man who viewed the opportunity to follow Jesus more as a career opportunity or a time again for himself. Now, in this particular period of time, there were many rabbis who taught the Torah, they taught the law, and oftentimes there were rabbinical schools. This may have been a man who saw Jesus as a teacher, someone that he would be willing to follow as he taught. The students of Judaism would live with these rabbis as they studied the Torah. But what Jesus is offering as he says, "Follow me," is much more compelling and much more selfless and would become much more dangerous than just hanging out with a teacher and learning a little bit about religion. To follow Jesus means more than just to go to catechism or just to go to church once in a while. Following Jesus is a reorientation of your life. It would involve for these disciples suffering and death. And I want you to know that in America, that's foreign to us. We have a relatively easy opportunity to follow Jesus Christ. There are many people, however, who don't have it so easy. Now, times are changing in America. I remember when I began preaching in the early 80s, and I remember back during the Reagan Revolution, and there was supposedly a moral majority. Back then, no one was trying to necessarily remove the Ten Commandments from the courthouses. No one was demanding that you don't pray in Jesus' name. It was a completely different time in America. Back when I started preaching, it was kind of in vogue to be a Christian. There was kind of some momentum. You didn't have to pay much of a price. It wasn't embarrassing. It was cool. But as America is following the pattern of Europe, and as we are becoming more post-biblical in our orientation, it is going to be a time when many of us will face the test of our faith. Are we a bumper sticker Christian, or are we truly a disciple of Jesus Christ? There's a big difference. And that's what we're going to learn about this morning. Because here was a man who wanted to kind of get in the rabbinical school. He was going to grab a hold of Jesus for some convenience sake. And there's nothing wrong with coming to church to get some help for our family and for our children and for those types of things. But that is not primarily what it is all about when one says, I have decided to follow Jesus. And sometimes we make these very important decisions a bit trivial if we're not careful. I was thinking this past week, sometimes we say to children, would you like to have Jesus in your heart? And I think that phrase, if it's put in the proper context, is a fair phrase. I think as long as we're making sure that a child understands what sin is and how sin separates us from God, and that all have sinned, and that Jesus Christ shed his blood for our sin, the heart is the totality of the innermost being. When I pray to receive Christ, I'm receiving him into my life. So it's fair to say, receive Jesus into my heart, but we want to make sure that we don't trivialize this decision by making a phrase or a statement that becomes merely a jargon rather than truly a commitment to Jesus Christ. In fact, one little boy recently, his name was Benji, and he was asked that question. And someone said, do you want to let Jesus in your heart? And he thought about it. He said, you know, I don't think I would want that responsibility. Now, I got to credit him for at least thinking about it for a moment. He wasn't on the same wavelength. How many of you have ever talked to somebody and you're kind of here and they're kind of there and you're not getting it exactly? He wasn't really understanding, but he recognized, boy, if you're going to have Jesus in your heart, there's got to be something attached to that. I'm not sure that I'm ready for that. And so this man did not understand the commitment. He says, Lord, I'll go wherever you want me to go. Well, I've been looking for a good rabbi to follow. Let's hang out together for a while. But he didn't understand the scope of this. He says to Jesus in verse 57, he says, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. But Jesus is not looking for simply travel partners. He's looking today for disciples. And I think about this in John chapter 6. Look in your notes, John 6, 64. Jesus has been teaching the doctrine of the bread of life. And it says there, but there are some of you that believe not. By the way, Jesus knows who we are, whether believers or unbelievers. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given to him of the Father. And from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Now, we've used this verse before, but I think it's a poignant illustration of what we're talking about this morning. There was a great crowd of people following a rabbi, a teacher, Jesus, who did miracles and fed them bread. But when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, that was a doctrinal issue. That meant exclusivity. That meant Jesus was the only way. From that time, when they realized this was going to cost them family and friends, when they realized the stigma of being a Christ follower, many people turned back. Now, there are many of you here this morning. It's cool to be in church on Sunday morning, but when you're hanging out with your friends, it may not be cool to say, I'm a Christ follower. I don't do that. I'm a Christ follower. I don't go there. You see, if we're not careful, we begin to put limitation on what it means to be a Christ follower. And it really reminds me of the bumper sticker I saw some time ago. You know, there's a lot of theology in some Christian bumper stickers. One guy had a bumper sticker and it said, God is my co-pilot. How many of you ever seen that one? Let me see. I mean, it sounds cool. God is my co-pilot. You know, you've seen these things. Like one guy has the one, honk if you love Jesus. I like the other one better. Tithe if you love Jesus. Any idiot can honk. Have you ever seen that one? That's a good one. But this guy had one that said, honk if you love, it said, God is my co-pilot. And someone has come out with a new one that's a little better theologically. And the new one simply says, if God is your co-pilot, change seats. Now, my friend this morning, God doesn't want to be your co-pilot. He wants to be your pilot. He is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Would you say that with me, please? Jesus is Lord. He doesn't want to be your Sunday morning God. He wants to be your everyday God. He is Lord. And this man, he was saying, I'll follow you wherever you want to go. But it really was a thoughtless decision. He had not thought out the ramifications of being a true disciple of Jesus Christ. Secondly, there would be an unexpected destiny for him. You see, if one is to go wherever Jesus goes, they must be willing to suffer rejection. Again, I don't like rejection, and you don't like rejection. That's why sometimes we don't witness as we should, or tell others we are a Christian as we should, because we're worried about self. But this man had not thought this out entirely. In fact, look what Jesus said in John 15:18. It says, if the world hate you, ye know not that it hated me. Ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but because I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. You see, to be a follower of Jesus Christ means that if you truly follow him, there will come times when you're not the cool guy, you're not accepted, there may be even persecution that you face. Now, the problem really lies in this verse in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 21. As Paul wrote to the Philippians, this is what he said about so many Christians. He said, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. Now, let's say that together. Ready to begin. For all seek the thing their own, not the things that are Jesus Christ. One more time. For all seek their not. Now, are you here this morning to get out of it what you can, this rabbinical school, this church? Or are you here to let Jesus have his way in your life? And many people are seeking their own. Some people come to church interfacing for business. Some people come to church to get marital help and help for their children. All of that has its place. But we are not here primarily for our own. We are primarily here to be followers of Jesus Christ. And so a disciple of Jesus must realize that following him means from time to time we will be a stranger in this world. Now, remember, Jesus is not asking us to do anything that he did not do. And I want you to notice what the Bible says there in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. This passage deals with the subject of financial giving, which every disciple does. But notice as we are challenged to give in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9, this is how it was placed in context. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Now, when Jesus came to this earth, he did not stop being God. He is eternal God. He said, before Abraham was, I am. He is God in the flesh. But Jesus laid aside the prerogatives of his deity. In other words, when he was on the cross, he could have said, 10,000 angels come and take me away. He could have done that, but he didn't do that in order that he might die for our sins. He didn't have to sleep on the floor. He didn't have to be born in a manger. He did all of these things selflessly so that we might be redeemed. How many of you are thankful he did that? Now then, you and I are challenged by a Savior who gave everything to abandon our will and to follow him. He who was rich became poor that we through his poverty might be made rich. And so if we will be a disciple of Jesus Christ, then we must have no regard for provision. We're not going to do what we're going to do as long as we can still have our way and our overtime and our hobbies and our goals are met. As long as Jesus doesn't get in my way, then I'll follow Jesus. You see, that's the attitude that this man was taking. He said, I'll go along with you as a rabbi who will teach and feed me. But Jesus says, you don't understand. The birds of the air have nests and the foxes of the grounds have nests. I don't even know where I will be in the sense of where I will stay, he's saying. Jesus did, but he's telling this man, there's not a place for you, perhaps, as one of my disciples. And so there would be an unexpected destiny in the context of this man. And so the first characteristic of this disciple is no regard for provision, all right? No provisions being made with God. Secondly, there would be no reservation of schedule. No reservations about schedule. Notice the second man in verse 59. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Now we see in this verse 59 a very serious call. And I want you to notice Jesus says to this man, follow me. That is an imperative. It is not a request. It is a command. And this matter of being a Christian is a choice. And the choice is, I will either obey the Lord and believe His doctrine and follow Him, or I will disobey. Jesus says, follow me. It was a serious call. But notice, there is a delayed answer. And this man says, Lord, suffer me to first to go and bury my father. Now, we understand that in this day, in the Holy Land, in the first century, there was a requirement that you would honor your mother and father. In fact, it went back hundreds of years prior, all the way back to the Ten Commandments. We understand that. And by the way, we should honor our parents today. Someone says, my parents are not Christians. You should still honor them in whatever context you can. And this man says, Lord, I want to follow you, but I need to go take care of my father. And as the parents were dying in this culture, it was not uncommon to kind of move in, and if you were not already there, make arrangements, provide for food, provide for needs. If there was a funeral, provide for song and food, and even pay the wailers who would come and wail and cry during the processional. It was quite a process, this process of mourning in these Jewish homes. Well, the fact of the matter was that this man says to the Lord, Lord, allow me to first go and bury my father. I want you to think this through logically for just a minute. In all likelihood, the man's father was not dead yet, or he would have already been with his father, you see. And so this man was not so burdened about taking care of his family as he was making a loophole. He was really saying, Lord, not now, maybe later. Let me wait a while, take care of earthly matters, then I'll follow you, and then I'll do what you want me to do. And I wonder how many people in this room right now, the Lord is burdening your heart about certain things, perhaps something with your family, perhaps giving, whatever, witnessing. And your attitude is a not now, Lord, maybe later, Lord, you see. And this man was simply saying, Lord, I want you to know I've got some other things I need to take care of. So there is this call that is given, a very serious call that is given by the Lord. And then there's this delay that is offered by this man. And then notice, if you would, thirdly, there's a sad rebuttal that's given by Jesus. Verse 60, Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. Now, how many of you agree with me? Let the dead bury the dead. That's kind of a sober response, wouldn't you say? Jesus is saying, look, I don't want to hear that excuse. Now, Matthew 6:24 says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold on to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And Jesus is not suggesting that we dishonor our parents. He is teaching that we would not permit our love for family to supersede our love for Him. And I want to challenge you, my friend. Many people think you can't have both. They think, well, I can't serve God and I can't have a good family at the same time. That is a lie of the devil. And be very careful about this idea of saying, you know what, I would go to the revival, but I just, you know, it's just not the best for my family. Let me tell you what's best for your family, sir. Having a daddy that's thoroughly right with God. Okay, so you invest a few hours in the Word, you get your heart right, it is a multiplication factor the rest of the time that you're with your family. And so there may be times someone says, well, don't you think it's possible that someone's so involved at church to the detriment of their family? That could be possible. If that's happening in your life, tell somebody right away, we'll relieve you from some duty. I don't meet too many people like that, to be frank with you. The fact of the matter is, most people are much more involved in other things and not so involved in scriptural and spiritual things. And this man was certainly one. He said, you know, Lord, I'd love to follow you, but I just got to take care of some personal business first. C.T. Studd, the great missionary, said, if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for Him. So Jesus gives a rebuke. And then Jesus says to this man in verse number 60, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. He says, I want to challenge you to go out and do what a true disciple does. A true disciple will herald the truth of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Spurgeon said this. He said, I know of nothing which I would choose to have as the object of my ambition for life than to be kept faithful to God till my death, still to be a soul winner, still to be a true herald of the cross, and to testify the name of Jesus Christ till the last hour. What a tremendous goal.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. As a companion to today's series, we are offering Dr. Chappell's newest book entitled Renew, 90 Days of Spiritual Refreshment. This beautiful, hardback 90-day devotional guide will encourage you to seek God's face and renew your heart in His Word. It's yours when you make a donation to this broadcast ministry. You can order it by calling 1-800-201-7748 or by requesting a copy at dailyintheword.org. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.